About a year ago, I was in Equatorial Guinea, and when we make a visit to Equatorial Guinea, we drive around in the car, and there are police stops all over the country, all over the place, and they stop just because they have a uniform, but they really don't get paid enough, so their uniform is their meal ticket. And so when they see a white man, they say, ah, in Spanish, un blanco, un banco. A white man, a bank. And so they stop you every time they get an opportunity and they say, well, sir, let me see your papers. And you show them the papers and they don't even know how to read the visa. My passport is upside down. And they say, no, listen, this is expired. And you have to explain to them all they're looking for is a little bit of this. Every day, every day, every day. I went to the village and at kilometer 10, mile 6, kilometer 10, I stopped. Because there's a police checkpoint there. And as I came to that police checkpoint, all it is just a big bamboo rod across the road on a barrel. And it was open. Well, it's open. Let's go. I stopped. I looked around. I waited for maybe 15 seconds, something like that. And I didn't see anyone. I thought, well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's gone somewhere. I don't know. So I started to go. And as soon as I started to go, the policeman with his whistle, he was coming from behind. I'm not sure if he was in the bar getting a drink or whatever. I don't know. But he came and he said, what's the matter with you? Do you think that just because this bar is open, that this rod is open, that you can go? He said, you're in trouble now. He said, you go and take your papers and you sit over there until I'm ready to talk to you. I thought, oh. I sat down. And I said to the Lord, Lord, this is getting tiring. This is getting difficult. Every time they stop. They stop me. And they're just pestering, that's all. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Albert, that's nothing in comparison to what I have suffered. And I had to say, sorry, Lord. You're right. I'm wrong. And then he did a miracle because as I was sitting there, a guy came with a Lexus, a fellow with a little bit of money. He looked like he was from the government because the way they spoke together, the guard and this man, it appeared as they knew that the one in the car had some authority. And as they spoke, and I couldn't understand because they were speaking the native language, but you could see from the gestures and the looking of the eyes that the guy in the car was saying to the policeman, what's going on here? What's that white man sitting over there for? What happened? What's going on? And so the guard explained. And the man looked at me again and then he took out his wallet and he pulled out a bill and it was a green bill. There they've got different colors for different denominations. A green bill was 5,000, about a day's salary for an average person. And the driver in the car gave the guard this bill and then he looked at me and he said, you're free to go. And so I said, thank you and thank the Lord and away we went. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful. He sees us in our weakness and yet he deals with us in grace and mercy. And how wonderful it is that we are occupied with him, that we become more like him, that we emulate his person, that we are gracious, that we are forgiving, that we are loving, that we are willing to suffer for him. He said, if they've done it to me, and we know that they have done it to him, how should we not then be willing also to feel these things and to display these things? The Apostle Paul could say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, he says to Timothy, but thou hast known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, and afflictions. And we see there that the Apostle Paul was saying, listen, you haven't only heard me teach, but you have seen me. You've seen my behavior. And the disciples were together with the Lord Jesus during those 3 years, and they could see how the Lord was. And the Lord wants us to be with him. Now, as we know, we can't be with him physically. And yet, when we think of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, the Lord opened the scriptures to them, and they just their heart burned within them. As we are at the feet of the Lord, as we heard this morning, there's a response in our hearts. There will be burning in our hearts. There will be a transformation of our hearts. And then The Lord goes on in his instructions to his disciples. Chapter 10, verse 26. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetop. Fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both body, soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And so the Lord was saying in this section, he's saying, listen, in view of the persecution, in view of the difficulties that you will feel, as I feel, as they have been in opposition against me, so they will be against you. And as you feel these things, don't worry. Don't worry about those things. And he uses the example of these two sparrows and shows that God's care is for those two sparrows in such a way that they need to apply then, that don't fear what men can do. Just a little while before, they had been on the sea and they were about to sink. The Lord was sleeping and they call out to the Lord and they say, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? Of course he cared. That's the reason why he came, so that we would be saved. And then he stands and he says, peace be still. And they just had gone through that experience not long before. And so they could understand that yes, God is in control of all things, and so we need not fear man in any way. And if God cares for two little birds, how much more won't he care for us who are his children? And so he says, do not fear them. Do not fear them, but trust. Trust in God. Know that he is over all, that he's sovereign, that all things are in his control. Truly, that which we have to put into practice as well. How easy it is for us to worry, to be concerned about many other things. But we need to remember that the Lord is our Lord. He gave himself for us. The Father gave the Son. How will he also with him not freely give us all things? We're secure. We as his disciple need to have this faith and this confidence in him. And then he goes on in verse 32, whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. Wherefore? Because of his care for those two birds, because of his care for us. Why should we doubt? Why should we fear? Why should we not testify about his goodness, about his care, about his mercy, about his provision for us? When I think of who the Lord is, I wonder how little we really appreciate who he is. We know that in Isaiah chapter 9, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful. Wonderful. Is the Lord wonderful to us? If we remember his care to us in so many different ways, especially, of course, for dying on the cross. If he is wonderful to us, do we feel shame to speak his name? Do we feel shame to testify for him?